Good morning. Welcome to Walking with Jesus Through the Word, one chapter per day. I'm Michael Tolercio, pastoral intern of Forest Hill Presbyterian Church, and it's day 520. We're starting a new book this morning, 1 Chronicles. Glad you're with us for it. I like 1 Chronicles. Even though sometimes people don't see the value of the book, there's great worth to it. Let's ask for the Lord's help as we look at this first chapter, that he would help us to begin to see that together today. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you have given us this gift, this word from you, Lord. This last book that was written, part of the last section of the Old Testament, the Hebrew Old Testament scriptures. We are so grateful for it, that you have given it to your people throughout the ages to be a reminder that you are a faithful God. We pray that as we begin looking at it this morning, that you would write it on our hearts, even though it's a different style of writing, and that it would just refresh us in the truth that you are a faithful God. And most clearly seen, that faithfulness is most directly seen in giving us your Son Jesus. May we be able to see a glimpse of him in today's passage. In his name we pray. Amen. 1 Chronicles chapter 1. It begins like this. Adam, Seth, Enosh, Kenan, Mahalalel, Jared, Enoch, Methuselah, Lamech, Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The sons of Japheth: Gomer, Magog, Madai, Javan, Tubal, Meshech, and Tirus. The sons of Gomer: Ashkenaz, Riphath, and Tagarma. The sons of Javan: Elisha, Tarshish, Kittim, and Rodanim. The sons of Ham: Cush, Egypt, Put, and Canaan. The sons of Cush: Seba, Havilah, Sabta, Raamah, and Sabtica. The sons of Raamah: Sheba and Dedan. Cush fathered Nimrod. He was the first on earth to be a mighty man. Egypt fathered Ludim, Anamim, Lahabim, Naphtuhim, Pathrusim, Caslehim, from whom the Philistines came, and Caphtorim. Canaan fathered Sidon, his firstborn, and Heth, and the Jebusites, the Amorites, the Girgashites, the Hivites, the Arkites, the Sinites, the Arvadites, the Zemarites, and the Hamathites. The sons of Shem: Elam, Asher, Arphaxad, Lud, and Aram. The sons of Aram: Uz, Hul, Gether, and Meshech. Arphaxad fathered Shelah, and Shelah fathered Eber. To Eber were born two sons. The name of the one was Peleg, for in his days the earth was divided, and his brother's name was Joktan. Joktan fathered Elmodad, Sheleph, Hazarmaveth, Jira, Hadoram, Uzal, Dikla, Obal, Abimael, Sheba, Ophir, Havilah, and Jobab. All these were the sons of Joktan. Shem, Arphaxad, Shelah, Eber, Peleg, Reu, Serug, Nahor, Terah, Abram, that is Abraham. The sons of Abraham: Isaac and Ishmael. These are their genealogies. The firstborn of Ishmael: Nebaioth and Kedar, Abdiel, Mibsam, Mishma, Duma, Massa, Hadad, Tema, Jeter, Naphish, and Kedema. These are the sons of Ishmael. The sons of Keturah, Abraham's concubine. She bore Zimram, Jokshan, Medan, Midian, Ishbak, and Shua. The sons of Jokshan: Sheba and Dedan. The sons of Midian: Ephah, Epher, Hanuk, Abida, and Eldaah. All these were the descendants of Keturah. Abraham fathered Isaac. The sons of Isaac: Esau and Israel. The sons of Esau: Eliphaz, Reuel, Jeush, Jalam, and Korah. The sons of Eliphaz: Teman, Omar, Zepho, Gadam, Kenaz, and Timnah, Amalek. The sons of Reuel: Nahath, Zerah, Shammah, and Mizah. The sons of Seir: Lotan, Shobal, Zibeon, Anna, Dishan, Ezer, and Dishan. The sons of Lotan: Horai and Hemam. And Lotan's sister was Timnah. The sons of Shobal: Alvan, Menahath, Ebal, Shepho, and Onam. The sons of Zibeon: Aiah and Anah. The sons of Anah: Dishan. the sons of Dishon, Hemdan, Eshban, Ithran, and Karan, the sons of Ezer, Bilhan, Zaavan, and Achan, the sons of Dishan, Uz, and Aaron. These are the kings who reigned in the land of Edom before any king reigned over the people of Israel. Bela, the son of Beor, the name of his city being Dinhaba, Bela died, and Jobab, the son of Zerah of Bozrah, reigned in his place. Jobab died, and Husham of the land of the Temanites reigned in his place. Husham died, and Hadad, the son of Bedad, who defeated Midian in the country of Moab, reigned in his place, the name of his city being Avith. Hadad died, and Samla of Masrekah reigned in his place. Samla died, and Shaul of Rehoboth on the Euphrates reigned in his place. Shaul died, and Baal-Hanan, the son of Achbor, reigned in his place. Baal-Hanan died, and Hadad reigned in his place, the name of his city being Pi. And his wife's name was Mehetabel, the daughter of Matred, the daughter of Mezahab. And Hadad died. The chiefs of Edom were chiefs Timnah, Alva, Jetheth, Aholibamah, Elah, Pinon, Kenaz, Teman, Mibzar, Magdiel, and Iram. These are the chiefs of Edom. There are many things to appreciate about the book of 1 Chronicles. Sadly, many people don't even notice some of those things that are worth appreciating when they read this book. But there's a lot in it. The first thing that I think is noteworthy, worth appreciating, is just the way that the book begins. Because if you see here, it doesn't begin with a sentence. It begins with a name, a list of names, in fact. And so there's no description given here in the opening verses of 1 Chronicles. There's just a genealogy. And that's worth noting because the Bible is a collection of different books, different types of books, different genres of writing. You have narrative and prose, you have poetry. Those are kind of the big overarching categories. But within those overarching categories, there's all sorts of subgenres, we might say. There's wisdom literature, there's prophetic writings and prophetic records. There are apocalypse type writings in the books of Daniel and parts of Ezekiel and Revelation in particular. There are passages with different types of laws. There's sort of the general overarching laws that God gives to his people, what we call apodictic laws, and then there's casuistic laws, kind of case laws, and largely we see those in Exodus and Deuteronomy. There are blueprints that are given for building certain things, constructing certain things. There's cooking instructions in the Bible. There's all sorts of different genres, and here we have these genealogies beginning the book of 1 Chronicles. And that just shows the breath of God's ability to communicate with his people. He is so amazing and so creative that he would invent even these different ways to communicate with people. And it's a particular type of communication that he's providing here for us as 1 Chronicles begins. As we said, there's no sentence structure here. There's no grammar really or syntax to pay attention to. It's a list of names. And the reason that's important is because we need to understand that 1 Chronicles was written to people, 1 and 2 Chronicles, those books were written to people that would understand history. They would already be familiar with or have available another history to go along with these names that they're reading about. We know that Adam is the first man, and that makes sense. If we were to start from 1 Chronicles, we might assume that perhaps this is the first man if we didn't know that, and that there is a genealogy going from that man. We might not know that. We might think, who is this guy and who's the next guy? But we know that Adam was the first man, but many of us don't know that the next son that was listed there was not his first son. Seth is not Adam's first son. Seth is probably Adam's third son, it seems to be. His first son was Cain. His second son was Abel, and it seems that Seth was his third son, based on how Genesis records the history there. But you wouldn't know that from just reading this list of names. You need to find that out from Genesis. So this is an abbreviated history that we're reading about. And again, it's not a detailed history. It's a sweeping look at God's faithfulness over the ages. That is leading us into one of the other things that we can appreciate from 1 Chronicles, and what we might take from this opening chapter, that the book of 1 and 2 Chronicles, by the way, in Hebrew, 1 and 2 Chronicles, in the Hebrew Bible, that's just one book. It's just the book of Chronicles. As was Kings, 1 and 2 Kings, just the book of Kings. 1 and 2 Samuel was just the book of Samuel. So the book of Chronicles was given to us for a particular reason. A lot of what we're going to read in these next two books here are parallel. There are a lot of parallel accounts to what we read of in the books of 1 and 2 Kings. But the intention of 1 and 2 Chronicles is to show God's faithfulness from the very beginning up through, and to suggest that God will continue to be faithful beyond the end of 2 Chronicles. It's a parallel to 1 and 2 Kings that shows God's faithfulness and answers particular questions that the books of 1 and 2 Kings aren't meant to answer. Questions like, will God continue to provide for his people now that, if you've read 1 and 2 Kings as we have, now that God's people have been exiled in Babylon. Israel had been taken captive to Assyria. Judah had been taken captive to Babylon. God's people are in exile. But will God be faithful to his covenant promises? 1 and 2 Chronicles are written to show us that God has been faithful since the very beginning of creation, starting with Adam, continuing with Seth, continuing with Enosh, down through, all the way down through, as we're going to read, all the way down to the time even of the deportation to Babylon. God has been faithful. And there are other questions as well that these two books, 1 and 2 Chronicles, will answer for us. Questions like, the book of Chronicles helps us to answer other questions as well. Questions like, are God's promises to David and to Judah and to Israel, are they valid for us? Really, the theme is to show that God had established a kingdom for his people. And even in spite of the people's turning away from the Lord, God is faithful since the beginning of creation to raise up another kingdom for his people in the future. That in this time of exile, God's people can trust that he will see to it that a new kingdom is established in the midst of all of the destruction that has come upon his people because of their unfaithfulness to him. He will still be faithful to his promises. 1 and 2 Chronicles have been written to give us that sort of certainty. As we look back to Adam and we see God's faithfulness in this line, even Adam, Seth, kind of skipping over Cain, Adam, Seth, Enosh, we see this genealogy leading towards something. That's how the book starts, and that's one of the things that we can draw from it, that we're going in a direction, and that direction applies not only to the people that were receiving this word at the time that it was written, but to us as well. Now that all happens only because God is faithful to the promises that he's been making throughout his people's history, which we'll also get glimpses of here and there in 1 and 2 Chronicles. A promise to send a king. And that's what we're seeing and previewed here for us in today's chapter. We're seeing that the line that God has given starts with Adam. It goes down through Noah and Shem, his firstborn son, down into the time of Peleg there, where the earth was divided. In his days, the earth was divided, and yet the Lord continued. Whatever that means, my thought is that it means that it's then when maybe the Tower of Babel happened, and the people groups were divided up across the various lands. They spoke different languages. In any case, God is faithful even beyond him through Reu and Serug, Nahor, Terah, and Abraham, who comes from that line. God is faithful. If we remember from Genesis 12, we said this in yesterday's devotional, that God had made promises to Abraham that through him all the families of the earth would be blessed. The promises that God made to Abraham continue on all the way down to the time of Jacob. They continue with human beings, with people, because God values people. It's one of the last things I'd like to point out for us today. I'm sure Pastor Jason has pointed this out in the past, as we've seen some genealogies previously, but God cares about people. God makes his promises to people. And so we get all these names of different people, all of whom God knows better than we ever will. God cares about these people more than we ever could. And God records these people's names in his word for us to be reminded that God cares about people. And so we should too. So may this brief look at this passage of Scripture as we begin this new book just inspire us to see that God loves us so much that he would be faithful to his promises to save undeserving people like us, many of whom we've read about didn't know the Lord, didn't want to know the Lord. We wouldn't either if it wasn't for his love, his initiative with us. And we can be reminded that God has a plan to save people that don't deserve it, that we're going to be reading of as we continue through this book, and that it ultimately, it culminates with a person. You know who. Let's go to him in prayer because of his faithfulness, his grace to us. Let's pray to him. Lord Jesus, we thank you that we can pray to you. We pray to your Father. We pray to your Spirit. We pray to you, Lord Jesus. We know that you are the King that these books in Scripture are pointing us to, and we're thankful for your faithfulness, for your willingness to come. It was already determined before the God-man became a man, before God the Son became a man, it had already been determined that he was going to come. You had already agreed, O Jesus, to come to earth to save us, and we praise you for that. We praise you for coming. We pray that today we would be transformed in light of this word, in light of your love for us, in light of your faithfulness to your promises. We pray we would live more boldly, more humbly, more thankfully for your glory today into the future, we pray. In your name, Jesus. Amen. Well, glad you could be with us today as we begin this new book of Scripture. Hope you'll be able to join us tomorrow as we continue in it with chapter 2. Until then, God bless.